This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Chris Eliopoulos and Mike Scopa.
Welcome back, Milers. I'm Chris Eliopoulos, your host, along with the Dean of Disney, Mr. Mike Scopa. Mike, as we get ready for the holiday season, I hope you've been good this year.
Well, it depends upon what your definition of good is. I want to apologize up front. I have a little bit of a post-nasal drip, and I may be clearing my throat throughout this show, so I apologize up front. But again, the definition of good is really important here. I think I've been good enough. Okay. How about you?
Look, I've been tolerable, I think, for my family. Like, they've dealt with me. But let's talk about the show. So today's show is something that we've done in the past, but we're going to do again. It's a Dear Santa Disney, where we're going to sit and make our wish list out to the Disney Corporation for anything that we feel like we'd like to see or have done in the parks or anywhere else in the Disney kingdoms, whether it be TV, movies, anything else. So Mike has a very, very long list, of course. I have a bit of a shorter list. So why don't we start off with you, Mike, and give us some of your first few wishes.
Well, I was thinking that we may want to do some news first.
Oh, really? We have to still do news? Okay, why don't we do news first, and then we'll get into the gist of this whole thing.
I think there are some things that would be interesting. It's not that much, but enough that it warrants some attention. Probably the last time I do this year, there are some things down there that people may not be aware of, as far as what the holiday stuff is going on. And specifically in the swan and dolphin duo, I think probably more in the dolphin than the swan, but the swalfin, yeah. So, you know, if you're in Epcot, take a walk over to the swan and dolphin. I believe it's the dolphin that they have a little elf outpost. And in that outpost, again, it could be the swan, but I'm thinking the dolphin. It has a toy workshop. It has a bakery, and you can get a complimentary cookie. Yum. So for those of us who need that complimentary cookie, not that $75 or $179 cookie, a complimentary cookie, you can go there. They have an occasion, what they're calling Tales from the North Pole. Again, milk and cookies, which I think you have to pay for. There's a reading of Twas the Night Before Christmas. There's also a meet and greet with Mr. and Mrs. Claus. But the thing that I think everybody would love to see is they have a life-sized chocolate sculpture of Santa Claus.
Oh, yum.
Next to Santa Claus is a 7-foot, 400-pound nutcracker, a chocolate fireplace, a chocolate Christmas tree, and a chocolate toy train.
Welcome to Mwanka.
Yeah, they are all edible. Yeah, Willie would be happy.
Outrageous.
They're also giving out magic keys for kids to hang on their door to help Santa find his way. Oh, I'm guessing they're not free, but. And of course, if you walk, there's a walkway between the Swan and the Dolphin where you can pick up boats. And if anybody has walked along that recently, and I mean within the last couple of years, you would remember that they have lights flashing and music, and they have what they call a dancing light show for the holiday season. So that's something that nice. I think is pretty cool. If I were down there, I would definitely make an effort to go there. The Magic Kingdom hours will soon be approaching extended operating hours, and we'll still be operating from 8 o'clock in the morning to midnight at night. And I think that's for the last couple of weeks of December. Everybody should check their calendars if they're going down. I'm noticing that the theme parks are really getting filled up and capacity is being reached like every day. Every day, if you look at the calendar, well, Magic Kingdom is sold out. Basically, it's Magic Kingdom that's selling out like crazy. Who knows?
Well, even at 2 o'clock, you might be able to get in.
Yeah, that's the thing. You just can't get in early. And as I had mentioned a few shows ago, Chris, there are buckets for annual pass holders. There are buckets for people who are staying on the property. There are buckets for daytime, and there are all those buckets are filling up. So please check the availability calendar before you make any plans. They were announcing getting back to running, the Run Disney Springtime Surprise Weekend, which right. I believe is the 18th of April through the 21st of April. And I just thought it would be interesting to mention it because of things that they are holding and the prices that I thought would be interesting.
Okay.
So there is a yoga thing at 5 a.m. on, I think, the morning of the Neverland 5K. That is $112. Hmm. There is a Neverland 5K that is sold out. That's right. $108.
This there is the inaugural one, right? This is the first one, right?
The first time Springtime Surprise Weekend. It could be.
Yeah. People like that first time thing. They want to get those first time medals.
Yeah. And they have shown the medals. The 10K is called the Adventure Is Out There 10K. It's $151 for a 10K. That is sold out. Then there's the Hakuna Matata 10 miler, $212. That is sold out. And of course, we knew that this was going to happen. They have what they're calling the Stitches Ohana Challenge, where you have to run all three and then you get a special medal. That is sold out.
Yeah.
You want to guess how much that is?
$350.
$485.
$485.
Yeah.
Wow.
Chris, it sold out.
Of course. I told you that if it's the first one, everybody wants to go and do the first one, get the medals. And
it's amazing. They also have two other things, which one is called a surprise splash at Typhoon Lagoon. It's $85. I don't know what that is. So I didn't even look at it, but I just thought I'd mention it. And then, of course, as always, they have virtual races where you can do one, two, three. I don't know if you can do I guess you could do the challenge in that. The prices for the virtual races range from $80 to $325. But, you know, well, if you want to do it.
I was going to say, that's just to get the medal. I mean, most of the time, you know, we can just run at home normally and you run that pace. You're just paying for the medal, which is fine.
Yeah.
I don't know what else they give you. I think it's just the medal. No T-shirts or anything like they do with the regular ones. So
I don't know, Chris, but I think you just mentioned that we have 108, 151, 212, and $485 medals. Just like the cookies.
And T-shirts. And
T-shirts.
It's funny because they used to, back in the early days of Run Disney, right? They used to give you this gift basket that was, or bag that was filled with stuff. And they'd give you a free day in the parks and all that kind of stuff. And it's sort of whittled down. The prices have gone up and the benefits have gone down, which is, of course, a theme at Disney is the reduction of things and the increase of prices. So
it is, I want to say my first Disney race, I don't remember now, I think it was, if I forget where it was, but it wasn't much money. It was like $30, and they fed us. I mean, they fed us with food and drink.
Yeah.
But not anymore.
Yeah. Well,
that's it for me for news.
Yay, we're done with the news. Now to my favorite part is, which is the Dear Santa portion of our program. So,
Oh boy.
I told my wife, I said, we're doing another Complain About Disney show, but we're just calling it Dear Santa. So, what's your first on your list?
I'm wondering if a lot of these things we have said in the past.
Oh, I'm sure a lot have. Yeah.
So it's funny. I mentioned to a few people I know who listen to the show, you know, what we're going to do this week, and 100% of the comment from them, they said at the top of your list, you need to say this. And I said, I think Chris and I are going to say this at the top of our list. And that is, we need to do something about this park reservation system, like eliminate it. Yeah. And I thought, Chris, that, you know, we just can't say that. I think we need to say, let's do something about it. Let's change it. Let's see if there's an alternative solution. Sure. So I thought about that this morning, and I thought, There were a lot of people who were confused about it. I mean, I've seen complaints from people who said, what do you mean that I have to make a reservation? I've already booked my flight and everything. And
yeah, I got my hotel.
You guess what? You need what? How do you do that? So that's confusing a lot of people. And there's a lot of angry people who haven't been in 10 years or ever. And it's like, what do you mean? So something has to be done. It needs to change. I think the first thing we do is wipe out the prison system. And we look at ways of getting around it. And one of the things I thought was, why did they put that in place? And maybe it was to control crowds, and maybe it was to control the amount of wait time for attractions. So I thought, maybe there's another way around it. And I thought, how about doing this? You specify certain days of the week. For instance, for the Magic Kingdom, maybe Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Maybe for the studios, Monday and Tuesday. Maybe for Epcot, just one day, Wednesday. And maybe for Animal Kingdom, 2 days. And on those days, those designated days, those parks are closed between 10 and 2. That is, you cannot enter the park between 10 and 2. And the reason why I say 10 and 2 is because 2 o'clock seems to be a magic time for them, where you can go in after 2 o'clock. So that to me was a sure thing. The 10 o'clock one, people who were going to go early, you know, they're there. So for 4 hours, you don't allow anybody in the park. That enables the early risers, the people who get up and get out of bed and go to the park early, an opportunity to have the park to themselves. Low queues or whatever, between 10 and 12 is when the crowds really start to come up. And from all the years I've been down there, I've noticed that between 10 and 12,
park explodes.
So yeah, maybe they should do that. Between 10 and 2, you close, and then after 2, open it up. Okay? Why not? I think that would be something to consider.
I would suggest that even that becomes confusing with which parks have the reservation system on what days. I think that gets people even more confused. My suggestion, which probably a lot of people would get mad at, is they should – anybody that's staying on Disney property doesn't have to get a reservation to get in. Obviously, the bands can help delineate who can get in and get out. I think if you're paying that much to stay on Disney property, you should get the ability to go into the parks whenever you want.
Right.
I think if you're an annual pass holder, if you're staying on property, same thing, obviously. But I think maybe they do the reservation system like they do for, you know, day visitors and stuff like that. If you know you're not staying on property, you know, you have to make sure you get a reservation. I don't see that as a huge problem. I mean, I know people who don't stay on property would be annoyed with it, but I think it would also save in terms of frustration by people going and spending all this money at the Disney hotels. They get in, they don't have to stress about it, and then it still gives enough space that if, you know, if there is room, obviously somebody who has a day pass or something else or not on property, they can book a reservation, still get in. But I think if you're paying those rates, especially the deluxe rates, you're paying sometimes up to $600 a night. You should have access to the parks whenever you and whichever one you want to at any time.
I don't know how many rooms there are on the property. I want to say 85,000. I'm just ticking that number off the top of my head.
Right.
So there's a lot of people that would be going to the parks, and
sure,
as far as park capacity goes, I'm sort of familiar with park capacity, and I don't know how that would work. It's a dilemma. I think that your suggestion has a lot of merit and should be considered. And you're right. If you're paying excess amount of, well, if you're paying a lot of money to stay on the property, there should be some kind of benefits. And you do get to go in early. And I think that what you said kind of flows into my other thoughts about this. And that is that maybe you operate the parks with greater operating hours, like starting at 8 o'clock in the morning and operating till 11 o'clock at night. And because of that, maybe you give those people who are on the property every single day access to the parks an hour before people who are not on the resort. Maybe you do that. I think that would be a another way of tweaking it. Yeah, they have. Yeah,
they've done it in the past, and it always seemed to work out well. I mean, it was great for us. We would run into a park an hour early. We'd get through the rides we wanted to do, and then we were free to roam and, you know, spend money on food and souvenirs and other things like that. Like while everybody else is, you know, going on in the parks, like you're basically, Disney is laying out like different time frames for people to get on rides and also spend money. Like you're spreading it out a little bit. So yeah, they should do that extra magic hours in the mornings and nights again. A lot of those things that were positive, they've kind of reduced or removed, and I would love to see those come back a bit more.
Well, the reservation system takes spontaneity out of a vacation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be away from
planning
your work, your planning, yeah. The clock, your watch. I got to go to a meeting here. I have to have this done by this. You're supposed to be able to relax on vacation, do whatever you want to do, when you want to do, for how long you want to do. And the reservation system kind of eliminates that, because...
Well, that and Genie Plus tends to do that too.
Well, so you've got the Genie Plus, get the park reservation system, and then, Chris, if you throw in, we want to eat lunch.
Yes.
Where are we going to be today? And do we have any Genie Plus or Lightning Lane arrangements?
Right.
Between, you know, when we want to eat. So you really have to coordinate it. And I think that's what leads to the frustration.
Yeah. So I mean, we were having issues with the dining at night, making sure that, you know, the park reservation that we had to get if we were going to do a meal, we should choose that park just in case, like you can't get into the other parks at 2 o'clock, whatever it was at the time. I think there's less of that worry that you could get into other parks after two and do dinner. But for us for the time during we were down there a couple of years ago, it was nerve wracking to figure out where we could eat and when and how. And like you said, you have these reservations for an attraction and you want to get on it, especially if you're spending extra money with a Genie Plus, you don't want to miss out.
Yeah, do you want to eat at Mama Melrose at 2 o'clock, or do you want to go on Rise of the Resistance at 2 o'clock?
Right.
You know, so anyways, I think doing something with that park reservation system is right at the top of my list, and it looks like it's right at the top of your list.
Yeah.
You know?
Let me give you – I've got two that I can basically chalk up to one, so hear me out for a little bit. So I think they need to increase the amount of buses for on property and concentrate the buses around high traffic times like park closures and fireworks endings. They tend to just keep everything running at the same rate. And, you know, sometimes you got to wait. Like you're going – like we'll go from the Yacht Club to the Magic Kingdom. And a number of times we've actually taken a lift to get over the parks because we didn't want to wait an hour to get onto a bus, wait for a bus to show up, get on the bus, stop five stops, get finally to the Magic Kingdom, and you get off, and it's now, you know, the park is filled because you're so late. So we would just hop that. But they should have these buses be there should be more of them, which means hiring more drivers, getting more buses, the Optimum Ward hiring more people, which takes me to pay for more workers for the ride upkeep. This past year, I've noticed I've had a number of friends complain to me about when they go to the parks, they spend all this money to go to a park and like three of the major rides are down and causing delays. And then all the other rides get filled up with people waiting for them. And it's not fair that you're spending a full amount of pay, you know, or a rate to get into the parks and go on the rides, and you can't go on all the rides because they're being shut down, and they never give you money back for that. I had a friend who was in Disneyland, and she had said something crazy. It was like Thunder, Space, and the Matterhorn were all down at one point. And she was like, what, like, why am I spending money to come to the parks if I can't even get on the rides I want to get on? So, and I think it comes down to that they've cut workers, especially in maintenance of the attractions. But all across the board, they've cut employees. So that would be like, I wish they would kind of build back their staff.
A few things on the buses. I agree with you on the buses. What they do have is that at the end of the day, regardless of what park it is, where the bus terminal is for people who are getting on buses and going back to their resorts. There are cast members known as starters, and they monitor all the bus stations so they can say, hey, we have a lot of people waiting to go to Pop Century, more than one bus, and they usually have some buses waiting that can go anywhere, and they take care of that. But that's going from the park. You're talking about going to the park, and I don't know, other than adding more buses per resort, I don't know how that would work. Regarding things that are down, they know when they do certain scheduled refurbishments, and they should make them known as early as possible so people can plan. I do know that there are some attractions that are very simple, but they break down a lot. And it's important to keep them running. And those things are running all the time. So maintenance is crazy. One of the things you mentioned was that someone said, hey, paying a lot of money. And then I get in there and it's gone. The attractions are not working. Why do I do that? Earlier this week, Chris, they opened up Typhoon Lagoon at, I forget when they opened it up, mm-hmm. and they closed it 2 hours later. So do people get a refund? Do people get their money back? Do they get a free pass to go in again at a future date? They closed it because the weather was cold. The weather dropped below 60 right. degrees or something like that. Well,
they say they can't control. So therefore it is nature and you're stuck. Cause probably, I think they have like waivers in their ticket purchases, which says, you know, there's weather.
Don't you follow the weather? Wouldn't you know that it was going to be a certain range of temperature and say, hey, let's not even open?
Well, they might turn around and say it's on the guest to be fully aware and decide if they don't want to be there on a cold day. But yeah, no, it's definitely these are issues that I think we all struggle with. I think it also kind of benefits the annual pass holder because you are spending across the board, and you're probably getting more days than if you were just to spend for like the 5 days or whatever you're there for a vacation. You get more for your money. But, you know, if I'm down there for 5 days and I go into the Magic Kingdom for my one day that I'm there and three rides are down and the rest are all packed because everybody's all that amount of people is being pushed to different attractions and you're not getting in on anything, you know, I think it is a responsibility of the park owners to say, hey, we screwed up. You deserve something, but you know, anyway, so that's my complaint for the day. Got something else on your list? What's on your list? Oh yeah.
Well, you know, we talked about Genie Plus and Lightning Lane. That's been a thorn in a lot of our sides. I think they should either eliminate it or make it very reasonable. I want everyone to, if you're not going down in a couple of weeks, you know, go online, go to some forums, check to see how much Genie Plus will cost over the Christmas weekend. I'll bet just to get to Genie Plus, it's going to be like $30, $35. And who knows what the Lightning Lanes would be like. So you could very well pay $35 for Genie Plus and then an extra $20 to ride on Tron or Rise of the Resistance or Guardians of the Galaxy. So
which might be down.
Which might be down. And then you have to go back later.
And...
yeah. I already talked about increasing operating hours for all the parks. I think that would help. I thought of this kind of a interesting thing. I think they did this in Year of a Million Dreams, but why not give every 1,000th guest that walks through a park turnstile a golden fast pass or a golden genie, Lightning Lane or whatever, and that person and their family, up to maybe four people, are then given the opportunity to go to any attraction at the front of the line for that park just once, every thousandth guest. So if they have 100,000 guests in a day that walk through the turnstile, and I think that's high, so they're giving out 100 golden passes. Is that a big deal? That would kind of, I don't know, that would kind of make it.
Yeah. There's another carrot. A lot of these things are Year of a Million Dreams-esque things that you'd like to see. I mean, beyond, like, they used to do that kind of stuff where, you know, random people would get, you know, a nighttime event at the Hollywood Studios, or they would get a free ride on whatever, or you get a badge or a necklace or whatever. Those were, you know, those were wonderful little things. It just amazes me that they didn't keep running with that one. Cause I mean, I guess cause it becomes expected that it's not magical anymore, but they could kind of release it certain times of the year, or, you know, especially the holiday season, you do that or whatever. But yeah, I miss seeing that kind of stuff where somebody walks through the turnstile and it's like, oh my God, you're now going to lead the parade, you know, like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that was just an amazing moment. Even if it wasn't you, watching the looks on people's faces made it so enjoyable. Like you're in the park and these people get all excited because they're going to be doing something different. I miss that stuff. I mean, that would go a long way to bring back that magic that we sometimes feel is lacking.
Yeah. There's so much positive publicity that could come out of that.
Yeah.
In my letter to Santa,
it is.
I also break it down into the various theme parks. So I'd like to ask you if that would be okay to.
Of course. I'd love to hear what your choices are. Because I've got a few too. So I feel free to.
Oh, okay. So I'm guessing we may have the same.
We'll see.
Let's go to the Magic Kingdom. It's always the crown jewel. And
sure.
Remember the there used to be a theater between the Carousel of Progress and what is now Buzz Lightyear. Mm-hmm. I think that should bring that back. Bring that theater back. There are no real shows other than when the show in front of the castle. I think there should be a theater that gives you something where you can sit down in the shade. So that's one thing I would like to see. Santa. I also want Santa to do whatever he can or she can to bring back a nighttime parade to the Magic Kingdom. That's a that's a trademark of Disney parks. Bring back that nighttime parade.
Sure.
Spectro, Electrical Light Parade. They're so. I mean, they. I just don't understand why they don't do it. And the only thing I can think of is that there's a staff issue. They don't have enough cast members. But they do have it for Boo to You Parade on Mickey's Not So Scary and Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. So they do have that. Of course, they don't do those every night, but I think that would be nice. I also want them to replace Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse with a Moana ride. I think that would be good. It's Adventureland. It fits the theme. I think they should do that. Right. I think just beyond the Pirates of the Caribbean on the left side, they should have a pirate-themed restaurant. I think that would go... That would go good with the attraction. Remember, Chris, you've been to Disneyland. They have that
Blue Bayou.
Yeah, they have the Blue Bayou. The other last but not least in the Magic Kingdom, that circus tent area in the expanded Fantasyland.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should turn that into some kind of a combo store and a fantasy themed restaurant. I think there's a need for that. There's been some complaint that the Magic Kingdom really doesn't have enough sit down restaurants, and I think that would be a good place. That right off the top of my head, I had those five thoughts.
Yeah.
What about you, Chris?
Yeah, no. I think beyond magic, I don't think I had anything beyond the stuff I mentioned for the Magic Kingdom, but I will put in just in general, because I keep thinking about running through the Magic Kingdom is like one of the best parts of these Disney races. I want them to come back in with another nighttime race. I really loved Wine and Dine at Night. We thought it was such an interesting and unique experience. I know they had a couple of issues with weather a few years back, and that's why I believe they kind of pushed it from nighttime to daytime. But weather happens all day, 24 hours a day. So I'd love to go and do a nighttime run again. It was one of my favorite runs. We were always looking forward to it until they got rid of it. So because we would just want to run through the Magic Kingdom at midnight.
Yeah, I remember that. Were you there down the other night that they almost canceled the, was it a half and then they turned it into a 10?
Yeah, you were down there. I don't think I was there for that one.
Yeah, I remember being.
But it was lightning strikes. I mean, that's the problem is they had lightning.
I don't remember were we at sports? I think we were at sports. I remember we're all in the stands and I started texting Rudy. I said, what's going on? He said, we got this weather thing. He said, we're within 10 minutes of canceling the entire race. Yeah. It's like, hey, but they ended up doing, I think it was a 10K.
They cut it short. 10K. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, All right. What's the next park you want to
Epcot.
Go to?
Epcot.
Okay.
Keeping with my rant about parades, I think they should bring back something like the Tapestry of Nations parade. It was very surreal. It was very enjoyable. I think that they would have to tone it down a little bit because of the kiosks for all the food festival stuff. But I think it could figure out some kind of a parade with minimally sized floats and, characters and stuff. I think that would be really, really cool. I also think they should open up World Showcase, and I'm still calling it, I know it's, I think it's called Discovery Land now, but I still call it Future World. I think both ends of the park should be open at the same time rather than wait till 11 o'clock or whatever to open up World Showcase. I think that would spread out
I guess.
the crowd, and I think it would be best for everybody. Again, it's probably a staffing, it's a fiscal issue, it's a financial issue, but I think they should do that. To the right of when you're walking past China, if China's on your left and you're walking past it, you come to that corner where there's places where you can play drums and stuff. They need to do something with that corner. And I know that there has been some discussion about some kind of an Australian pavilion, and they were thinking about building a restaurant on the that would go out into the lagoon a little bit, and it would look somewhat similar to the, was it the opera house in Australia or whatever, something like that. I think that,
Sydney Opera House.
the Sydney Opera. I think they should do something there. And I think that also, and it's, I knew it was going to come back to this when I was thinking this about this morning. They're missing the boat on what to do after Illuminations. And I think that it's going to continue until they really hit
Mean
it right.
luminous.
Yeah, Luminous, Harmonious. They could have very well done a very simple thing. Maybe bring in a new soundtrack like Harmonious, and I'm sure that I'm a broken record talking about this. Keep the globe in the middle of the lagoon. Maybe add a little bit of hardware to add a little pyro. Have some kind of a story. They're storytellers, they're movie makers. And I think they would have been fine if they had done that with the Harmonious soundtrack. Luminous, whenever I get a chance to see it, I'll probably be able to really judge it better. But I think, Chris, they're missing the boat, and it's a tough act to follow. It's like following you after, you're done with your books. Who's gonna do the little kids' book? So, it's tough to follow a really great act. So I think they need to do something though with that.
My other thing is something we've mentioned previously, which is updating Spaceship Earth. I know a few years ago they actually
Oh,
said they were going to
yeah.
do it, and then things got out of hand in the pandemic, and then they just dropped the whole thought of it. But it's become very tired looking. I know we've talked about the down part of the ride where it just sort of nothing happens except you stare at a screen. Well, I could do that at home on TV or on my phone. And the whole thing, the idea about it is communications, and it's like there's no communications going on inside of that
Yeah,
ride anymore.
yeah.
I would love to see a rehaul of that whole ride. And I still miss Walter Cronkite's voice in there, but beyond that, I would love to just see a little bit more interactive, a little more something in there that would update it to today.
I have a little bit of a story about that. I don't remember what year it was, but it was when they were transitioning that attraction, and they had closed down Spaceship Earth. And you don't close down Spaceship Earth. I mean, that's the icon for Epcot. They closed it down, and people were complaining, and Bob Iger caved, and he said, "Open it up." And they opened it up right around MouseFest that year. And I remember going on the ride, and going on the way down, I could see where they were not finished, and they were Imagineering tools there and whatever. And I remember finding an Imagineer friend of mine, and I said, "What's going on?" He said, "We're really upset because think of it this way. If you are an artist and you're painting a piece of art, you don't want people to see it until it's done." But there were so many complaints that they opened it up. So I don't know when they did the work in there. I think what was is after when they closed the park, I think that the Imagineers operated it on the, on the hours that they had the park closed. But I do remember Deb Wills commenting on the thing. And she said, you know, it's like an E ticket going up and an A ticket going down. And for those who are aware of A, B, C, D, E tickets, they can understand what that was. But yeah, I agree with you, Chris. Bishop Road needs to be taken care of. I think we're running a little bit over, but I think we need to.
Yeah, we'll just finish the last couple of parks. I've only got a couple left, so.
So Disney Hollywood Studios has morphed into a non-studio kind of park that it opened up as when it was MGM. And I think that they have to take a really hard look and maybe get back to it. Superstar Television, Monster Soundstage, they're all gone. Backlot Tour, that they're all gone. And maybe they need to look at this differently. It's a misnomer to call it studios, I guess. They need to do something with Voyage of the Little Mermaid. It's been closed for like 2 or 3 years. What are they going to do with that? Make that, again, I'm going back to Moana. Maybe there should be a Moana show with all the songs. They did so much work on the, and we talked about this, they did so much work on the sidewalks so that parades could go back and forth. They need to put together maybe a Pixar parade, maybe a nighttime Pixar parade. We know that the studios has a lot of neon signs all over the place, so maybe a neon Pixar parade. So I think that's, those are the three things that I think are important. Have you thought, any thoughts on the studios?
I had one with Galaxy's Edge. I would love to see them cater to some of the longtime fans and bring back some of the original characters from the original trilogy and sort of bring that more into the forefront. I know they want to promote the latest movies and where things stand right now, but you know, I'd love to see like somebody dressed as Han Solo or Luke Skywalker coming through, or you know, Princess Leia. I want to see those characters in the parks. I thought it was a crazy idea that they did what they did as opposed to going back and making a Tatooine or making it, you know, one of the original worlds from the original Star Wars. So I'm just, you know, hoping to see some of those original characters and let's see if they can do that. But that's my wish.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that there's a lot of legacy stuff out there that they're kind of turning their back on. And I think that they should be careful about that because, you know, guests come in all ages, and so I think that's something that should be considered. Regarding the Animal Kingdom, I really didn't have any because I know that there's stuff that's being planned to address, you know, like Dino Land and a few other things. So I think that I'm going to be very careful with my letter to Santa and say, Santa, just let them keep going the way they're going to go.
I didn't have much other than the usual, like, can you cut down the lines on, you know, the Avatar ride or you know, whatever that may be. And it just gets so hot in that park. Not that they could change the weather.
Right.
But I would love to see like more umbrellas throughout the park or something to sort of block out some of the heat. But, you know, that's sort of little
I
stuff
agree.
That we don't have to bother Santa with. You can just ask.
Yeah, I agree. I also don't want to bother Santa with Disney Springs because I think they hit a home run with Disney Springs. Yeah, I think it's fine. So I think that's for my list. I think unless we have anything else, I would like to talk about a tip.
I have two other things before we go to your tips. The first one is the app itself. I would love to see a better user interface. It's a very confusing app. It's difficult to find, you know, dining reservations or make your reservation or to find map. Just everything about that app is difficult to use. And especially when you're walking around the parks and you're like looking at this thing and struggling and you're bumping into people because you're everybody else is looking at it. I would love to see a better, I mean, it's Disney for God's sake. Their websites, their app should be super clear, super easy to look at, operate. I would love to see that.
It's funny you mention that, Chris, because they did do some kind of an update on the app. And apparently it is supposed to provide, quote, better visibility of theme park reservation status. So it says here the app's homepage and the My Day page now list which park has been reserved for today or a future date using change day. Oh, that's a big deal. apparently previously was not always clear if a park reservation had been made, particularly on the day of blah, blah, blah. I mean, it sounds like just a little tweaking thing. But,
yeah, it's hard to navigate. And finally, the last one I had is not necessarily park related, but Disney Plus related. I would love to see more of the Silver Tin videos. You remember those old?
Yes, I used to have them.
I would love to see more of those on Disney Plus. I know they've done a couple, like they did like Mission to Mars and Mission to the Moon and Space and stuff like that. They've added some of those from the Tomorrowland segments.
Right. But
I would love to see some of the other. I mean, I still have it on DVD. You know, I've saved them, but I would love to see some of that available on Disney Plus. I don't know, they're missing the boat on that one. They could have a whole section on, you know, the Silver Tin videos.
Boy, I'm glad you brought up Disney Plus. I never really thought about them, about that streaming service. And I'm wondering if it would help their streaming revenue if they did something like that, as well as bring back some stuff that a lot of the baby boomers grew up with, you know, the Mickey Mouse Club, Spin and Marty. There are so many old Disney shows that
the Disneyland
would be really
show
cool.
Itself, like, you know.
Yeah. World of Color. And there's so much that they have in the vault, they say. And I think that Zorro. I mean, yeah. I spent the spring looking for Zorro. I watched all of the Zorro stuff. There's so much that I think that they're missing. They do have old movies, but I think
love
that
it. A vault section where they have, like, you know, like you're saying, all the old. And they don't have to release them all at one time. You know, you can do some different parts, like you're saying, like, you know, Davy Crockett. You know, any of these other
Davy Crockett.
King
Mike
of
Fake.
Frontier.
Wow.
But
he never died. You know, he never died. He's still fighting Santa Ana's men at the Alamo. He never died. I never saw him get killed, so he's still alive.
Oh, there you go. He's still going. But yeah, so I think they're, you know, dropping the boat. I mean, they've been talking about, you know, losing, you know, viewers or subscribers. I mean, this would be a great way to bring some back of the old guard. Like, man, I think a lot of people would come back to see some of that stuff.
When you think of it, Chris, it wouldn't cost them a lot of money either.
Yeah.
So the payback is,
they've got this material. They're not buying new material.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, all right. So what do you say we move on and give us some of your last tips of the year?
Of the year. So, Chris, I think you would be one person who would appreciate what I'm going to say. There are people down there who value their time. When you go to a Walt Disney World Resort, none of us go as often as we would like because of time and expense or whatever. You want to make the most of your time. Your time is valuable, so you want to do as much as you can. That means trying to figure out how to get from point A to point B. Regardless of whether you rent a car or you don't rent a car, you really need to figure out how best to make use of your time, traveling time. So what I thought about was that it's so important for people to understand and to be very familiar with the transportation options down there. Buses, monorail, boats, skyway, walking paths, you know, understand what options are available to you to get from this particular point A to point B. So I thought about that, and I thought, you know, people need to be aware that if they do it right, they can save so much time. They can get to do things they want to do more than they, you know, enjoying attractions, walking through the parks, attending shows, going on rides, rather than spending time on a bus or whatever. And so I wanted to provide some examples just to give people an idea what they should think about when they are going down there and they're trying to get from one point to another. So, for example, if you are at the Magic Kingdom and let's say you wanted to go to Fort Wilderness to eat at Trail's End, to maybe attend Hoop-Dee-Doo, what's the fastest way? Take a boat from in front of the Magic Kingdom to right near Pioneer Hall, I mean, it's the fastest way. Sure, you could take a bus, but then you have to go to the settlement and then you have to change and take another bus. So, you know, that I thought about that. And actually, we when we were there in the summer, we had to go. We were going to Hoop-De-Doo and we thought, you know, that would be the fastest way. The boats weren't running, so we had to drive over. But it just seemed like it just wasted maybe about 30% of our time. So that's one thing. Let's take another one. If you wanted to go to Magic Kingdom from Epcot, let's say you're walking through France and you say, hey, it's after 2 o'clock. Let's go to Magic Kingdom. Okay, let's go to the front of the park. Let's take the monorail. We'll go to the Ticket and Transportation Center and then we'll go to Magic Kingdom. That's all well and good, but why not go out International Gateway, go over to the Beach Club, take a bus from Beach Club to right in front of the Magic Kingdom. It's so much quicker. If you're at Port Orleans and let's say you want to go to Disney Springs, do you take a bus? Yeah, you could, but you know, get away from the bus and the crowds. Take a boat. Take the boat from Port Orleans to Disney Springs. I think that would be enjoyable. If you're at the studios and you want to go to Epcot, sure, you could take the Skyway, which is fine, but you can also walk. And sometimes it's faster to walk. Or take a boat, depending upon how often mobile the boats are there. Yeah, how mobile you are. Going from the studios to Epcot, Epcot to the studios, you have those three options. You have walking, boat, bus, and Skyway. And depending upon the time of year, one may be the better choice.
I will give one to you that we figured out at some point. We were at the Hollywood Studios, and we wanted to go to Disney Springs. And a cast member mentioned, go to Saratoga Springs, and there's a spot you get off. You could literally walk like a short distance to get into the spring.
Because
I think they didn't have the time. They didn't have the buses. I still don't know if they have the buses going directly to the spring. So, what was great was when we were on the bus, we mentioned to the bus driver that's what we were looking to do, and she gave us the right stop because there's many stops in Saratoga Springs, and got us the right spot. She said, "Get off here and." You know, you could either take a bus from this one over to the springs from here, or, you know, you can just walk across the bridge. So that was a great little tip that we picked up on the side. So,
yeah, I think that the reason why they don't have buses that go from Disney Springs to the parks and vice versa is because then people would park for free at Disney Springs. And then,
oh, interesting. You know,
so, yeah. But I think that, yeah, I think there's a bridge that you walked over from Disney, from Saratoga to Disney Springs.
Yeah.
I think there are so many things that you really have to think about how you're going to get from A to B. One more thing, you know, when you go to the Magic Kingdom and you are leaving from your resort, you know, you could take the bus. And again, it drops you off in front of the Magic Kingdom. Some people want to drive and they go to the TTC. And then they have to figure out, I guess you can walk now to the Magic Kingdom, or you can take a boat, or you ferry, or you can take the monorail. I think the express monorail would be the first option. But again, if you really want to enjoy the day, take a walk or whatever. Either way, with all these tips, the important thing to keep in mind is that you should always give yourself at least 1 hour to get from point A to point B. If you are in the Magic Kingdom and you said, oh, we have a 2:30 reservation at Rose and Crown, what do? Do you take the monorail to Epcot? No, you take a bus to Beach Club, get off at Beach Club, and then you can get to through the International Gateway and then to Rose and Crown. So you really have to put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah.
And again, Chris, like we said at the beginning and throughout this show, it shouldn't be hard to enjoy a vacation.
Yeah.
But in this case, Disney has made it so that we need to become very well-informed consumers to go on a Disney vacation.
I will add just one last thing on the back end, which is there are also taxis and lifts in the area. We had wanted to go to the Animal Kingdom at one point to get in early to get onto flight of whatever it's called from Avatar.
Rite of passage, yeah.
And what we did is we just grabbed a taxi from our hotel, and we were there within like 10 minutes or whatever the drive was, because there were people that were just waiting for the bus, and the buses were going to take forever, and we knew we were going to miss out on that early entry and get in and do that. So sometimes you have to say to yourself, is it worth the money, whatever, $15 to get in a taxi or a Lyft and get somewhere, and you get that extra hour in the parks? Is that valuable to you? So it is an option. It's just, again, like everything else at Disney, it's a financial option that you have to decide is worth it for you.
And I think the minivans are back in operation too. And they probably have better access than a Lyft or an Uber. So. Yeah.
The best part about the Mini was I remember they took us on a trip to the Magic Kingdom, and they stopped in the front of the bus route. So they, like, you were like closer than buses getting off. So if they're still doing that, that's a really great option as well.
I think so. I think, Chris, before we leave, we should mention to everyone that I know you're going to be busy over the next month. I'm going to be busy over the next month, and want to make sure that everyone knows that we will still be posting shows. We are in the process of putting together some shows that we will schedule, and we will have for everyone to listen, enjoy, and hopefully learn. So be on the lookout for our shows over the next month or so.
That sounds good. And so for both of us, I just want to wish everybody happy holidays, happy new year. Hope it is healthy and happy. And so on behalf of the Dean of Disney, Mike Scopa, I'm Chris Eliopoulos. We'll see you on the roads, in the parks, and under the Christmas tree.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.